Good morning. It's April 5th, and this is your daily brief in EU news. Here's everything you need to know. As NATO defence ministers convened in Brussels to commemorate the alliance's 75th anniversary, the spotlight was on ensuring equitable burden sharing and the paramount importance of unity in the face of challenges. This gathering comes at a crucial time, as the alliance grapples with the ongoing conflict involving Ukraine and Russia, underscoring the complexities of modern geopolitical engagements. Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg put forth a significant proposal during this assembly, a €100 billion fund earmarked over 5 years to reinforce Ukraine amidst its struggle against Russian military aggression and critical equipment shortages. This move highlights NATO's commitment to supporting Ukraine while navigating the delicate balance of providing military aid without escalating tensions further. The discussions within NATO reveal a spectrum of opinions on the extent of military support for Ukraine, including debates over arming the country. The US Secretary of State took a firm stance, reaffirming unwavering support for Ukraine and condemning Russia's aggressive maneuvers, signaling a unified front against actions that threaten peace and security. Efforts are underway to identify and potentially deploy Patriot missile batteries to Ukraine, a concrete step towards bolstering its defense capabilities against ongoing attacks. This initiative is part of a broader strategy to ensure Ukraine's resilience in the face of adversity. Warnings from Lithuanian and Polish officials about the looming threat of conflict with Russia serve as a stark reminder of the volatile security landscape in Eastern Europe. These statements emphasize the necessity for preparedness and a robust defense posture to deter aggression and maintain stability. NATO's expansion, with Finland and Sweden joining the ranks in record time, signifies the growing consensus on the need for a united front against threats to peace and security. Despite the substantial financial aid from the US to Ukraine, political disagreements have complicated the delivery of this crucial support. In closing, Stoltenberg's call for enhanced cooperation between the US and Europe, along with the acknowledgement of NATO's global partnerships, underscores the alliance's pivotal role in fostering international peace and security. As NATO marks its 75th year, the challenges it faces today reaffirm the enduring value of unity and collective action in navigating the complexities of global geopolitics. In a twist that reads like a spy novel, German lawmaker Peter Beistron, currently in the race for the European Parliament, finds himself embroiled in controversy. At the heart of the matter are allegations that he accepted funds from a Russian propaganda network, accusations he vehemently denies, framing them as part of a smear campaign against him. The saga began with a report by the Czech newspaper Deník N, which cited an audio recording. This recording allegedly hints at financial transactions from Russia to a member of the Alternative for Germany, AfD party, purportedly Beistron. The report doesn't stop there. It suggests a broader scheme where hundreds of thousands of euros were funneled to various European politicians, hinting at a systemic attempt to influence. As the story unfolds, Beistron's party appears to take a step back, demanding a formal explanation from him and advising a pause on his campaign activities. This move reflects the gravity of the situation and the potential implications for the party. The Munich Public Prosecutor General's office has swung into action, opening a preliminary investigation into the allegations. This step underscores the seriousness of the accusations and the concern over foreign interference in European politics. This episode adds another layer to the ongoing narrative of Russian influence operations in European democracies. As the investigation progresses, the focus will be not only on Beistron's personal conduct, but also on the broader implications for political integrity in Europe. In a pivotal moment for France, grappling with the shadows of terrorism, a court has made a significant decision in the case of the 2018 Strasbourg Christmas market attack. Former security guard Audrey Monjahai has been handed a 30-year prison sentence for his role in aiding Islamist attacker Cherif Chekat, marking a crucial step in the country's fight against terrorism. Monjahai was convicted of murder and terrorism after it was found he provided the gun used by Chekat in the deadly rampage. Despite their history as former cellmates, Monjahai claimed he was unaware of Chekat's radical intentions, asserting he never believed Chekat to be radicalized. This claim, however, did not absolve him of the grave consequences of his actions, although the court did acquit him of a specific terrorism charge, citing a lack of knowledge about Chekat's plans. The attack orchestrated by Chekat left a tragic toll, claiming 5 lives and injuring 11 others. The victims represented a cross-section of global citizens, including an Italian journalist, a Polish musician, a Thai national, a garage mechanic from Afghanistan, and a retired bank worker from Strasbourg. This horrific event has not only scarred the victims and their families, but has also reignited fears of terrorism across France. This verdict arrives at a time when France is under heightened alert, with the upcoming Olympic Games casting a spotlight on the nation's security measures. The sentencing of Monjahai serves as a stark reminder of the ongoing threat of terrorism and underscores the importance of vigilance and justice in combating this global menace. In a strategic pivot responding to evolving security threats in Europe, German Defence Minister Boris Pistorius has rolled out an ambitious reform plan for the Bundeswehr. This move comes at a critical time when the shadow of Russian aggression looms larger over the continent. The initiative, dubbed Bundeswehr der Zeitenwende, sets its sights on transforming the German military into a more agile and efficient force. Central to the reforms is the introduction of a unified command structure aimed at streamlining operations and fostering greater coordination across the military. Additionally, the plan outlines the restructuring of the Bundeswehr into 4 distinct branches, alongside the establishment of a joint support command to centralize and optimize essential capabilities. Pistorius is not stopping there. He's also contemplating the revival of conscription. This bold step, coupled with efforts to cut through the bureaucratic red tape and eliminate overlapping functions within the military, underscores a comprehensive approach to fortifying Germany's defence mechanisms. The overarching goal is to project a robust posture of deterrence, signalling to potential aggressors that Germany is prepared and resilient. However, the path to reform is fraught with challenges. Notably, there's apprehension over potential budgetary constraints that could impede the nation's ability to meet NATO's defence spending benchmark of 2% of GDP. The initiative also faces hurdles from within, including internal resistance and the need to navigate a myriad of individual interests within the military's ranks. Despite these obstacles, Chancellor Olaf Scholz has thrown his support behind the reforms, committing to ramp up military expenditure to align with NATO's expectations. This strategic overhaul marks a pivotal moment for Germany as it recalibrates its defence strategy in response to the shifting geopolitical landscape. In a moment of reflection and acknowledgement, French President Emmanuel Macron has admitted that France and its allies had the power to prevent the 1994 Rwanda genocide, but lacked the resolve to do so. As we approach the 30th anniversary of one of the darkest chapters in recent history, this admission opens a new chapter in France's efforts to confront its past and mend ties with Rwanda. Macron's forthcoming video message, set to be released just before the anniversary, will not only acknowledge the tragedy and France's historical role, but also highlight the discrepancy in the death toll figures, mentioning 1 million victims, despite estimates suggesting a range between 500,000 and 800,000. This gesture comes amidst Macron's broader initiative to repair relations with Rwanda, which includes significant steps like commissioning a report on France's involvement, opening state archives and intensifying efforts to bring genocide suspects to justice. A notable example of these efforts is the recent sentencing of a Rwandan doctor to 24 years in prison in France for his involvement in the genocide. During a visit to Rwanda in 2021, Macron recognized France's responsibilities in the genocide, but stopped short of an outright apology. This nuanced stance is supported by the findings of a historical commission led by Vincent Duclert, which concluded France under President Fran Oise Mitterrand failed to act during the genocide, but found no evidence of complicity in the killings. The president's anticipated message has been welcomed by the Ibuka France Genocide Survivor Association, underscoring the importance of remembrance and the education of younger generations about the genocide. This move by Macron not only seeks to address the past, but also to foster a future where such tragedies are remembered and lessons are learned, ensuring they are never repeated. This has been your daily brief in EU News. To read more about these stories, follow the links in the episode bio. You can also subscribe to these updates via email at www.brief.news. For more daily podcasts about the topics you love, visit brief.news/podcasts. We'll be back Monday with everything you need to know.